Afternoon. It's good to be with you again. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of hide and seek. I don't think I have to explain to anybody how hide and seek works. It's a game that the kids play. Sometimes even adults play it too. You know, if parents want a little peace and quiet, sometimes they somebody else has done this besides me, but you know, Ethan, let's play hide and seek. Why don't you go hide? And half an hour, I'll come try to find you. But hide and seek is a game that, you know, one person seeks, everybody else hides. And I want to talk tonight about how that applies to us spiritually. The relationship between God and man really is a story of hide and seek. And, you know, the example of Zacchaeus is a good example of somebody that was hiding and then Jesus sought him. So we'll look at that in a few minutes. But first of all, let's back up just a little bit to the passage that was read for us this evening, Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 10. The Bible practically opens with this kind of concept of hide and seek. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were told not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. It doesn't say it's an apple, by the way, if you were here this morning. But they were told not to eat of that fruit, and you know that's the one thing that they decided that they wanted. Satan tempted them with that, told them that God had lied to them, that they would not surely die. God did not want them to be smart like he was. And so they took of that fruit and ate it. Their eyes were open. They realized that they had sinned. They felt guilty. They realized that they were naked. And they went and hid themselves. And so here we see the situation where they realize the state that they're in. They go and hide themselves. And people will hide sometimes because they don't want to be exposed for what they really are, and that being a sinner. And people sometimes hide from other people. When people are in some kind of trouble, you know, they try to cover their tracks. They try to do things that they can to keep from being found out. We used the example this morning of King David when he sinned with Bathsheba. He did things to cover his tracks so that he would not be found out for being the father of that child. But people will do that. They will hide because they don't want to be exposed, and people will do that. They'll hide from other people. They will hide from God. They will hide from the truth. They even hide from themselves. So we see that there is a pattern in the Bible of people trying to hide from God. And let's look at a few other passages. Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. Job 31, 33 and 34. Job says, "If I have concealed my transgressions as others by hiding my iniquity in my heart, because I stood in great fear of the multitude and the contempt of families terrified me so that I kept silence and did not go out of doors." And see, you know, Job, when he was undergoing these persecutions and was searching for a reason why he was suffering the way that he did, you know, Job is not saying that he had concealed transgressions. He's saying that he hadn't, that he was not a person that sealed and concealed transgressions like others did. And others might suffer because they do those things. Job, not understanding why it was that he's suffering, he's mulling through these things in his mind, but the thing that I want you to see that he brings out is that people that hide and conceal, they stand in fear of the multitudes. He says, "The contempt of families terrified me, that I kept silence, did not go out of doors." That's the idea here of those that keep silence and try to stay hidden. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, we read this morning, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." This morning we mentioned that there are two ways of covering sins, a right way and a wrong way. And when God covers our sins, you know, through confession and repentance, that's a great thing. But this was talking about the one that conceals his transgressions in an ungodly way. That person will not prosper. So these are the type that try to hide. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "He said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" And so here you have the idea that people thought that they are hidden, that God did not see them, that God was not aware of the things that were going on. So people will sin and people will hide because they don't want those sins to be seen. Sometimes people will also hide from responsibilities. Not only try to hide their sins, but they try to hide from their responsibilities before God. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, they inquired again of the Lord, is there a man still to come? The Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. And here, somebody hiding because of a responsibility. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, and of course the whole book of Jonah is about somebody that is trying to hide from his responsibilities. Jonah running away from God as he is told to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, and he doesn't want to do it. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 1, he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And what's interesting about that is he wasn't fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He thought that he was. It says he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. The idea here is that he is not going where God wants him to go. God's everywhere. He's not fleeing from God. Of course, God eventually got Jonah to go where God wanted him to go. But the point is that people will try to hide their sin, and people will try to hide from their responsibilities. So what we see here in the book of Genesis, in our reading, Adam and Eve sinning and hiding in the garden, it reveals a pattern of behavior that that we have as humans. It also reveals another pattern of behavior, because what we also see there is that man hides and then God seeks. Man hides and then God seeks. Let's look back again at Genesis chapter 3 and starting in verse 7. The eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Or there's been many lessons that have been done on this subject about, you know, when God calls Adam and Eve and says, where are you? Of course, God knew where they were. But Adam and Eve certainly needed to realize that God knew where they were, and they weren't hiding anything from God. The point here is that Genesis shows us this pattern of behavior that people will sin and people will hide, and then God seeks them. And God seeks each one of us. You know, there was a bumper sticker several years ago, and, you know, if you're as old as me, you'll remember it, that I found it. Remember that? The bumper sticker that said, I found it. And a lot of people didn't know what it was. You know, what was it that you found? And, of course, what people were saying is that they found Christ. That was the idea. And it's good for people to seek if they're seeking the right thing. I don't know what everybody found when they said that they found it. And I have an idea that some of them that think they found something didn't really find what it was, what they really needed. But we need to understand that we should be seekers and seekers of things that are right. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. I want to read several passages that tell us about being seekers or searchers. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So here we're told that you seek after Him with all your heart and all your soul. That's going to help you, and certainly that motivation, that 100% motivation is good. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. The prophet says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27. That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. just here talking about all the different idols that had been set up. And it was really the one that was set up to the unknown God that was the one that was real. And Paul is telling them the one that you don't know is the one that you ought to know. And so you seek Him. That's the one that you need to be seeking. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him." And so those are just a few of the examples that we can see throughout the Bible where we are encouraged to seek after God. And we're also encouraged by the fact that God says that when we seek Him with all our heart, soul, and mind, that we're going to find Him. And so that's a pattern that we see, that man sins and he hides, but God gives us the ability to seek for Him and to find Him. And so our seeking really, pales in comparison with God's ability to seek. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love." So God seeks after us. We need to seek after Him. So let's look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and we want to make some applications from the account of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, and starting in verse 1. "He," Jesus, "entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich." So here Luke describes this encounter between this man, Zacchaeus, who was a sinner, and he's seeking the Messiah. As we read on, it says he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So here we have an account of a man that's seeking after Christ. You know, this would actually be a good song. You know, somebody wanted to write a song about this. And what we have here is this man that was involved in an occupation that was considered not to be so great by a lot of people. It carried a heavy social stigma. And the thing that he was involved in was collecting taxes. You know, there are certain things that are considered despised trades, and this would certainly be one. And you know, the Jewish people considered that no devout Jewish person would engage in this kind of occupation. Why were they despised? Well, you don't have to speculate much about why tax collectors would be despised. In the Gospels, many times the tax collectors are linked with sinners. We can look at a few examples. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" And so people would link tax collectors with sinners. There was an assumption that if you are a tax collector, that you are no good. In Luke chapter 15, the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him. Tax collectors were linked with these types of people. In Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 31, it says, "Which of the two did the will of the Father?" They said, "The first. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Why did Jesus use this illustration? Why did he say the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you? Because those were the ones that were despised by others. And they were linked together in being considered to be sinners. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, "If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to tell it to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector."
And so here the individual that does not listen to the church, that does not repent of their sins, is told, let that person be to you like a Gentile and tax collector. What does that mean? Well, you're going to accept them with open arms. You know, you're going to be buddy-buddy with them. No, that isn't the way that they treated Gentiles and tax collectors. They did not want to be with them. They were despised. And they were despised because of several different reasons. First of all, tax collectors, their work, you brought them into regular contact with the Gentiles. They weren't just collecting taxes from the Jews. They were collecting taxes from everybody. And so that brought the tax collectors in contact with the Gentiles who the Jews considered to be unclean. And so, you know, by association, they thought that made them unclean also. And they were also considered to be traitors who had sold out their brothers and sisters, you know, in order to make a profit. And it was just assumed that any tax collector was guilty of massive dishonesty. That tax collectors would come, and I'm sure that many of them were guilty of that. They come and collect taxes, and they say, give me $500, and really they only had to collect $400, so they kept $100 for themselves. So they would extort more than what they really had to give to the government. They would do that. And so it was assumed that because many of them were guilty of dishonesty, that all of them were. So here we have Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. And not only that, he is a chief tax collector. But he is one that was sought after by Jesus. Jesus sought after him. Again, let's look at our context here at Luke chapter 19. He was seeking to see Jesus, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and came to him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So it was no secret to Jesus that Zacchaeus was seeking him. And Jesus tells him, you know, come down from there. I'm going to your house today. So Jesus calls on him. And so if you were Zacchaeus, what would you have been thinking? What would Jesus possibly want to do with me? Well, if you want to know what Jesus wants, you know, you can see that in verse 10. Because it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus wanted. Jesus had come to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man had come to do that. So he describes those that he came to seek. Those that will come out of hiding, as Zacchaeus was in hiding up in the tree, he's up there to see Jesus, and he comes down, and Jesus can save him. So those are the type of people that Jesus has come for. Those that are lost. Those are the people that he summons. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So who is it that Jesus has come to seek? He's come to seek save the lost. He's come to seek those who are laboring and are heavy laden, those who have great burdens upon them. Jesus is going to take that burden of sin upon himself. And he does that because he is humble. And he's humble enough to do that for us. So, if we are lost, we are the ones that Jesus is seeking. If we're lost and we're hiding, Jesus is the one that is calling for us. He wants us to come out in the open, like he wanted Zacchaeus to come out in the open. Come on out. I'm going to go to your house today. So we see that Jesus summons sinners, and Jesus saves sinners. God has decided that he would come searching for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. He could have chosen to let us die. He could have chosen to let us stay hidden. But we don't have to stay hidden. Zacchaeus didn't have to stay hidden.
We have a decision to make. Zacchaeus had a decision to make, whether or not he was going to come down and do what Jesus said. What are we going to do? Are we going to come out of hiding? And really, there is no hiding. Just as Adam and Eve really could not hide from God, didn't matter where they went in that garden, God knew where they were, even though God said, "Where are you?" God knew where they were, and God knows exactly where it is that we are. God knew exactly where Jonah was when Jonah tried to run away from God. And so when Zacchaeus runs ahead of the crowd, he climbs up in the tree, and when he comes down and he welcomes Jesus to his home, then he says he's going to own up to any misdeeds that he may have done. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." So Zacchaeus here has come out of hiding. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." So as a result of Zacchaeus doing what Jesus said, coming down and being with Christ, Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to you." Of course, you can see the parallels in our life, that we have to come out of hiding. We have to accept the invitation of Jesus so that we do not have to bear the burden of our sin anymore. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He's looking for us. And if we will respond to that, He will change us just like He changed Zacchaeus. Jesus seeks us and He sanctifies sinners. He can change us. Jesus loves Zacchaeus and He loves sinners. Many times He was told that you shouldn't be associating with these people. You should not be associating with the tax collectors and the sinners. But Jesus knew this was a person that needed Him. This was a person that was seeking Him. And He changes Zacchaeus' life and says, "Salvation has come to this house." And you can see the change here. Zacchaeus is saying anything that he's done wrong, he's going to make right. And this is what repentance is making things right. And when someone is saved, you know, you set in process you set in motion this process of change. And so here we have a great example of someone who accepted Christ and came out of hiding, and Jesus set in that process of change in his life. Now, I don't know how many of you get telemarketing calls. I'm sure that a lot of you do. But here's an example of a telemarketing call. Telemarketer calls house one day and a small voice answers the phone and says, "Hello." And the telemarketer says, "Hello, what's your name?" And he says, "Jimmy." "How old are you, Jimmy?" "I'm 4. "Is your mother home?" "Yes, but she's busy." "What about your father? Is your father home?" "Yes, but he's busy too." "Well, who else is there?" "The police." "The police? Can I speak to one of them?" "They're busy." "Are there any other grown-ups there?" "The firemen." "Well, may I speak to the firemen?" "They're busy too." "Jimmy, all these people are in your house and I can't talk to any of them. What are they doing?" "They're looking for me." You know, we're all like that in a sense, spiritually. There's people out there that have done something wrong, and they're all trying to hide. And Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So many people hide from God, but they don't need to hide. God is seeking us. Jesus is seeking us. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save that which is lost." And you can be found, but if you're like Jimmy and everybody there is trying to help you, but he's for some reason not wanting to be helped. God sees us. God seeks us. And the question is, do you want to remain a sinner in hiding? or do you want to let God find you? God is seeking us to save us from our sins. And you know, one day, those who decided to stay in hiding, it's not going to be a good thing, because all those things that have been hidden will be revealed. There is no hiding. There may be hiding temporarily, but in the end, there is no hiding from God. Zacchaeus made a very wise decision when he went to seek Jesus. And he made a wise decision when Jesus invited him to come down and go to his house, because salvation came to his house. And salvation can come to you too if we will do the same thing and invite Jesus into our life by being obedient to Him in baptism and arising to walk a new life. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
Oh, yes,